thankful to be here at Corinth Primitive Baptist Church this morning. Thankful for each and every one that's come out to the Lord's house this morning. It's definitely a blessing to me to see you come out, and trust that you've come this morning desiring to come seeking God and not seeking a preacher or anybody else, but seeking a blessing from God. Amen. That you've had a place, you've found a place of that. Talking to Brother Mark this morning, you found that cave of Adullam, a place of refuge that David so longed for. And those that were under Saul at that time over in Samuel, the discontented and the brokenhearted, and those who were in trouble, in debt, they had a place to go to. They had a place to flee. And that's where David was at. It was the cave of Adullam. And I think God has got us in the cleft of His rock here in this life, in His church. And it's a wonderful place to be. I'm so needful of God's Word. I'm so needful of God's presence this morning as I stand before you. And I ask that you pray for me that that just for a little while, that the devil would leave me alone. The devil's been on my back pretty hard this morning, and we have a strong need to get him off our backs. And I can't decide. I can't decide whether it's the devil or whether it's my flesh. They're both real close. And
he works through the flesh,
doesn't he, Brother Jennings? And it's hard for me sometimes to distinguish the difference between the devil and the flesh, because they're hand in hand. But we ask that you pray for me this morning, and that I'd be removed out of the way. I was talking to Kirby coming over here this morning. I said, you know, it's quite a miracle. I don't know how much thought you've ever given it, but it's quite a miracle for a man, a sinner, to stand before God's people and to preach God's Word. Now, it's a miracle. It's what it is. It's a miracle. It's a blessing of God. My opinions this morning, what I have to say, are no different than anybody else. I'm no different. Don't look at me. Don't look at the man as being any different than anybody else. I'm every bit as big a sinner as anybody in here ever was. And you know, Paul said, he said, I'm the least. I'm less than the least of all saints. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But I want to tell you, Paul wasn't dwelling on himself. He wanted to let you know he wasn't exalted in himself, but he was exalted in God. Amen. He is exalted in God. Amen. And that's what we need to do this morning, is exalt God. You know, God's brought me to a place and He has to, from time to time, God's brought me to the place where I see who I am by nature. And I don't find any joy in who I am. But I want to tell you something. I find joy in praising God for who He is and what He's done for me. Amen. Now that's where the joy is. The joy's not in me. The joy's not in the preacher. The joy's in what the preacher's got to say if God's blessing that preacher. Amen. And that's where the gospel comes through, the blessed preaching of the Word, the gospel. And so we ask this morning that you pray for me. Pray that I'd be removed out of the way, and that I'd say such things as that I'd be obedient to my Master, that I'd be a servant to God as He'd have me to be this morning, and say those things that'd be a comfort to you. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I got Brother Briscoe's message a couple of weeks ago. We weren't at the house to receive it. We were down at Mills Chapel and had such a wonderful meeting down there with Brother Curley, and I just delighted to meet him and to listen to him preach, and just thank the world of Brother Curley, and just love the church over there, the Lord's church at Mills Chapel. And we had a wonderful time, but we received the message from Brother Briscoe about asking me to come on Fourth Sunday, and I'm just delighted to be here on Fourth Sunday. I am. I just thank God. And I was just hoping that you'd ask me to come for Sunday. And I'm just excited about it. I love the people here at Corinth Primitive Baptist Church. And I feel your love. And I feel, you know, what draws me here more than anything is I feel the presence of God here. And I'll tell you, where the presence of God is, there's freedom. And I like that freedom. I like to be free. And so we thank God for that. And we ask that you humbly pray for us as we try to make our way over here to Corinth on Fourth Sunday of every month, and we are looking forward to that. And at this time, we'd like to go ahead and sing an opening song, and we'd like to ask Brother Mark if he would to go to before the Lord in a word of prayer after we sing, and we want to make an opportunity at this time, if there's anybody that that has a need of prayer, or knows of anybody that's sick or afflicted or that needs our prayers this morning, let it be known at this time. Is there anybody at all? Yes, sir.
My mother-in-law, she's doing better, and I thank God for that, but she still needs her prayers.
God bless you. God bless you. We want to remember Brother Mark's mother-in-law. Any else at this time?
I'd like Brother Charles to know here this morning. I'd like to remember him.
God bless you. We're missing him this morning.
And we've got Sister Vina Johnson in there. Sister lives in a nursing home. And Sister Margaret's been sick. And we need to look at her.
God bless you.
And we need to continue to pray for the people that are suffering this morning. Hang on the rest of their days, it seems like.
Very long. God bless you, Mother Jennings. That's,
remember them.
Amen. We certainly want to remember all those that can't make it to the Lord's house this morning for whatever reason, whether it be a sickness or whatever hindrance might be, whether an obstacle might be laid down before them, that they're unable to come into the Lord's house this morning. It's a wonderful opportunity come into God's house, and how we need to esteem each and every day that we're able to come into God's house and be grateful for that day, be thankful for that day, and be looking for a blessing from God. God's blessed us richly in the past, but He's not promised to continue blessing us. He hasn't promised to bless us today because He's blessed us in the past, and so we look to God for all that. And any other requests that need to be mentioned this morning?
Brother Kerry, I'd like to ask the church to remember me. I got some more, got a little surgery coming up Thursday.
This Thursday?
I'm going to do some surgery on my arm. Got a torn rotator cuff. And it's going to be an outpatient deal, but they still going to have to put me under for it.
You know? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, God bless you.
So I'd like people to pray for me, please.
Well, we certainly do it, Brother Briscoe. We didn't realize that. We trust that everything will go well for you in that. God bless you. Anything else? If we're not, we'd like to stand and sing
56.
Sing number 56. And Brother Mark, after that, we'll ask you, sir, if you would, to come before us in prayer. Number 56. Stand as we sing.
As is thy servant, Lord, the gospel to proclaim.
But thou hast been so merciful to us, And it just cannot be described in words.
Yes.
So we just praise you for everything that thou has done for such sinners. Lord, such sinners, the Lord as I am, I know, I have no, nothing to boast about. Not one iota of anything I have to boast about. Except thy Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I thank thee that he did go to the cross to die for his people. And I pray, Father, for thy mercy and grace that I am one of thy people. And I trust that I am because of thy great grace. And I praise you for it this morning. Now, Father, as we go on into the service this morning, we want to thank thee, first of all, for the soul that we have, Son, and how much blessing they were to our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And we also want to thank thee, just like the cave of Adullam.
Yeah, Lord.
This is what thy church is. Oh, come into thy holy church and meet thy holy people.
Yeah.
It's a great blessing to this old sinner's heart. I do not deserve not one portion of this church, not one portion of thy service.
Yeah.
And I know it. And they love me even while I'm yet a sinner, as Christ loved me even while I'm yet a sinner. And I thank thee for the love, for the peace and the comfort that we get when we come out to the house of the Lord and talk with brethren. Brethren in like faith, like patience as we are.
Yeah.
And help one another if we can.
Yes, Lord.
Help one another as we speak to one. And Lord, we see not only myself, but I see others are in pain.
Yeah.
And in agony. When they come in here, you see a smile on their face.
Yes, Lord.
And you see the thy holy glory in it. Father, this is heaven on earth.
Yes,
to be able to come with the brother. And I thank you so much for that, my Father.
Lord.
I thank you so much for that. And now, Father, we want to pray for all those that were mentioned and here as sick and afflicted and having troubles and trials and tribulations in this world.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, I thank thee, my Father, that one of these days, if we are one of thine, and we pray that we are, that we're going to escape all these old trials and tribulations.
Yeah,
and we're going to be in thy holy presence forever and ever.
Yes.
And then we can leave these old troubles and trials we have and always be in the presence of thee.
Yes, Lord.
We thank thee so much for that. When thou come back in the sky and shout, you're going to take your children home. If we've already passed on, we're going to be out coming out of the grave.
Yeah.
And if we're alive and remaining, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be up there with you. Father, help us to realize this in our hearts and lives. These tribulations, these trials, and these heartaches, and all these things that we're going through today. Help us to put our faith and trust in thee and not dwell on our own problems and dwell on our own thoughts, but help us to dwell on thee and dwell on the future of thy heaven and thy home.
Lord,
oh God, help us to look to Jesus Christ. Help us to look to thee and nothing else.
Yeah.
And I pray, Father, for each one of these that are having troubles and are sick and trials, I pray that thy blessings and thy peace will overshadow each and every one. As Brother Jim says, he's going for an operation. We pray, Father, that you'll give him the peace in his heart during this time. And others that are going through these things, Father, we pray for peace. Oh, Lord God, I deserve hell. I don't deserve one hour.
Lord,
please give him thy peace. Just thy peace. One portion of thy peace is worth more than all the gold, silver.
Lord.
Everything.
Yes.
So God, give us peace and hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. And now, Father, I want to lift up thy holy servant that come here. He said he's a sinner. Bless God, if he didn't say he's a sinner, I was willing to walk out that door and never come back. But praise God, he said he's a sinner just like me.
Yeah.
You have given him the grace to get up before our audience and preach. So, Father, I pray that you give him much grace this morning.
Yes.
Much peace and much freedom.
Yes.
And much knowledge in thy holy word that we can hear and be blessed. God, give him that grace. That only you can give. There ain't nobody else. He'll look to you and trust in you this morning. And now, Father, thine is the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
And thine is the power. And thine is the glory. Forever and ever, in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
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 God bless you.
I appreciate that good humble prayer.
Yeah.
Brother Mark, I know it came from an humble heart.
If it is God, you
may try. God bless you. Isn't it a blessing that you can see that?
Yeah.
What a blessing it is that we can see who we are by nature.
Amen. Yes, it is.
That we can see that we're undeserving and hell deserving.
Amen.
Sinners.
Yeah.
And that we're not worthy of the least of his blessings or his mercies. And if he never, if God never blessed us another time in this life and forever kept the fellowship and his presence from us, we've got so much to be thankful for, don't we?
Amen.
We've still got so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
But reckon how long our old depraved nature would last before we'd turn against God if he just completely removed his fellowship and his presence from us. We'd begin to say, Lord, what have I done? Am I not doing the right things? Am I not living right? And see, we're never doing... But the whole problem is, you see, is we've never really seen it yet that we never have done anything deserving any of his mercies or any of his grace. But he bestows mercy and grace upon those in whom he loves. He does it out of love. I believe there's some blessings to be received in obedience to God.
Amen.
He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen.
But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword.
Amen.
I think that sword we're talking about there is that sword of judgment.
Yeah.
That he can cast upon his children at any time that are disobedient and not willing to follow God.
Amen.
But thanks be to God that none of these things has a thing to do with what Jesus Christ did on Calvary.
Yeah,
it doesn't change a thing of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary.
Right.
You see, if that changed anything of what Christ did on Calvary, then I'd be of all men most miserable because I'd have no hope. There'd be no hope because my hope would be in me. It wouldn't be in Christ.
Right.
It wouldn't be into him that enters into that within the veil.
Yeah.
But you see, he's entered into that within the veil, and my hope is in Christ. It's anchored to Christ, and it's steadfast and sure.
Yeah.
You see, why is it steadfast and sure? Because he said over there that Jesus Christ, our forerunner, has entered in.
Yeah.
Do you know what a forerunner is, dear friends? You can take comfort in a forerunner. If somebody sees a race coming, they say, there's the forerunner. You know what that means? It means there's some others coming behind him.
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't be a forerunner. You see, a forerunner means he's got people coming behind him, and that's why Christ is called the forerunner. You see, he's going into heaven, and there's going to be his people is coming in just as sure as Christ has entered into heaven. And our anchor is in him. One day, dear friends, it's all going to be over with in this life. Now, isn't it? One day, it's all going to be over with, and Christ is going to descend, and he's going to come back, and he's going to redeem those that he redeemed on Calvary. He's going to redeem our bodies with him in heaven. We're going to be carried to heaven with him.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking with Kirby last night, and we were just sitting out thinking and meditating on God's Word. And what a wonderful thing it is when we can just sit down in the quietness of the night and try to meditate on Christ coming back. You know, sometimes to me it just seems like a blurred dream. Sometimes it just seems like, well, you know, it's really not something, I mean, I know it's going to happen, but I never have really seen it with these eyes yet. I haven't seen it with these eyes, but by faith, you see, I see it by faith. But sometimes my faith gets dim, and sometimes my faith gets weak. And we got to clean the window, don't we, so that we can see clear from time to time.
Amen.
And when we clean that window of faith and we can see Christ and His ascent, and His descending down to get His children, you know it's going to be just as real, brethren and sisters, that we're going to be lifted up and carried with Christ and in heaven. You know, it's going to be just as real in heaven as we feel as it is real right now. It's going to be just as real. Now the sin's not going to be there. Thanks be to God. We're going to be raised. The corruption's going to be raised in incorruption, and the mortal's going to be raised in immortality. But we're going to be able to come together and praise and worship God forever and ever. You know, that's really when we start living, now, isn't it? Now, God gives us eternal life in this life when He quickens us again by the Spirit of God. We've had knowledge of that eternal life, and then we'll never die. You see, our death is just a separation. The death of this body is just a separation. The soul goes on to be. It never dies, you see. When God quickens it again, my friends, there's no death in your body. There's no death in that soul, what I'm trying to say. There's a separation of that body. But we go on to live forever. But you see, really, it's not until then that we can go on when Christ comes to redeem us and we can go on to live with the Lord, that we won't have to go try to seek a place of refuge, Brother Mark. We won't try to have to seek a way and get away from the things of this world, you see. But we'll be in the glory, we'll be basking in the glory and the liberty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Now, and I thank God for these thoughts. You know, it's these thoughts that help me to continue on in life. To let me know that there's something better, thanks be to God, than this old wicked world. That I've got my eyes looking towards something greater than the things of this world. I'm not looking to have my name in the marquee lights. I'm not looking to have my name established in any books or anything like that, you see. But you know, God said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. The world may not know who you are. The world doesn't know who the unknown soldier is up there in Washington. But God knows who he is. You see, God knows them. I want to tell you, the world might not know all the infants that die in infancy, that die in the womb, but God knows them. You see, God knows them. That's what's important, my friend. Not that the world knows them. Not that the world knows you, but that God knows you. And if God knows you in that everlasting covenant of love, my friends, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about the world, does it? It doesn't matter what the world thinks. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What seal is that? Huh? The Lord knoweth them that are His. See, He knoweth them that are His. He loves them that are His. And I thank God for that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to the first chapter of John. The first chapter of John. The Gospel of John, you know, John starts all the way back before creation. In the beginning was the Word. Now he's talking about Christ as the Word. And we go on, and he goes on through here, and I want to read over here in the first chapter of John in the 11th and 12th verse. He says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now he's speaking of Christ, of course. He said, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Oh, and I want to tell you something. You know, Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy in the second chapter, in about the 15th verse, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Rightly dividing. Now he says, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto man? No. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, see, he's calling this man that's studying a workman. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now God says we ought to rightly, we're going to have to study as a workman to rightly divide God's word and not to be ashamed of it. But you know, the world looks at that rightly divided as a saying, well, you've got to separate truth from error. But my friends, there's no error in God's word. He's not talking about separating that that's true and that that's untrue. It's all true. It's all God's word. He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's nothing in the Bible that's untrue or false.
Amen.
We're not talking about separating truth from error. What Paul's telling Timothy is to separate, is to rightly apply God's Word and what he's talking about.
Amen.
That's what he's saying, rightly apply it. He's not saying don't do anything. Now, you know, I've talked to people that were in the Armenian church. I know one preacher I talked to one time, he was in the Armenian church, and I said, brother, what do you do with these verses here? What do you do with this? He says, I'll tell you what we did. We didn't do nothing with it. We left it alone. We didn't go to it because we couldn't understand it. It wouldn't fit the jigsaw puzzle. It wouldn't fit into that puzzle, you see. So we just didn't go to that. We didn't preach it. I want to tell you something. If you rightly divide God's word, if you rightly divide it, and that's when you know you've got the truth, brother and sister, because it is like a jigsaw puzzle in that it all just comes together.
Amen.
It all just fits, you see.
Amen.
And if you ever study, and a little help for you, if you ever study in any of God's scriptures at all, and it appears to you that it's saying one thing, but it's contradicting everything else, you better leave it alone.
Amen.
You better leave it alone, or you better start trying to figure out what it is what it is saying,
Amen.
Because there are no contradictions in God's Word.
Yeah.
Well, he says to study to show ourselves approved. You know, the world has got these two verses right here. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received them not, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Now, the world will tell you exactly, I'll tell you what, the world's got a monopoly on that text right there, do they not?
Yeah.
I mean, the world will tell you right off the bat what he's talking about. Now, we have to receive Christ into our heart. And then when we receive him into our heart, you see, we become a son of God and we go to heaven to be with the Lord one day. But first of all, he says, we have to receive him into our hearts. You see, we've got to receive Christ into our hearts. Now, that's what the world preaches in that. But you see, the world, one thing the world is missing that they've never seen, and the reason why they've never seen it, dear child of God, and if you see it this morning, it's because God blessed you to see it,
Amen.
Is the total depravity of man. Who is man that he can come before God or come before a throne in his total depraved, dead state and decide that he wants to do anything that's pleasing to God?
Exactly.
He can't. You know why he can't? Because he's dead. He's dead in trespasses and in sins. And Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, and you have he, God, quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. I want you to listen to their state. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh and of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Yeah, that's right.
Were by nature.
Yeah.
Thank God, you see, you're not that by nature now. You're still depraved by nature, but God's born you again with a new nature when he said, and you have he quickened. You've been brought to life.
Yeah.
You've been given a spiritual life, and it's not according to man's desire in receiving Christ. It's according to God's purpose from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You see, when man begins to get himself out of the equation and see God in Christ, see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in this, now I want to tell you, God's fixing to shine some light on the truth.
Amen.
You see, you've got to get man out of the equation. It's not man doing this. It's not man doing this, doing that. In the third chapter of Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's a strong one, isn't it, for the Armenians? That's a strong one for the Armenians. Brother Mark, you ever heard that in Armenian church? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will come to me and answer the door, you know, open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. And they're all about, you know, you got to come and Christ is knocking at the door. Have you ever heard that, Brother Jim? Christ is knocking at the door. You got to go answer the door and receive Him in to your heart. But I've got a question for you, my friends. If Christ has gone to that door and He's knocking and everybody in the house is dead, how long is He going to have to keep knocking at that door before anybody will come to it? There'll not be a soul come to the door because they're all dead spiritually. I'm talking about the dead alien sinner. I'm not talking about the one that comes to the door. The one that comes to the door and opens up the door that Christ has knocked on is one that got life. He's alive. He said, come into me and I will let me in and I'll sup with you. What's He talking? He's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about enjoying the abundant life in this life. That's what He's talking about. There's no such thing as a dead man doing anything. What chance did Lazarus have, my friends, when he laid there in that tomb 4 days? And they said, surely by now, you remember Martha and Mary said, He said, roll away the stone. Roll. Did you notice Christ said, roll away the stone? He didn't do it Himself. He said He let them do everything that they could do, but then it was time for Christ to do what He could only do. You see, roll away. Surely He's thinking by now. Surely He's thinking by now. You see, He's manifesting that death, isn't He? He's manifesting the death. You know, sometimes in our lives, we go through our lives and we manifest the death and the stink that's in us. We manifest that in ourselves. And Lazarus was manifesting his death. So I want you to see Christ goes in there and He says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And what happens? Did He go up to him and say, Lazarus, do you want to come forth? Do you want to live again, Lazarus? Do you want another chance? Do you want me to lift you up out of that dead state that you're in? No. Why? Because Lazarus is dead. He's got no abilities to acknowledge, no abilities of action. He's dead. You see, when we can see how a dead man is naturally, then we can begin to see how a dead man is spiritually. And Christ says, Lazarus, come forth. And I want you to see, it's the quickening Spirit of God that brings a man from his dead state into a life and the liberty of the Lord.
Amen.
But you remember what Christ did right after that? As soon as He's leaving, He told the disciples, He said, go and take the bonds that are off, release them from the veil that's over His eyes, and take the clothing that He's wrapped in there, the cloth that He's wrapped in, loose them from all those things. Now don't you see that's the purpose of the preaching? You see, the purpose of the preaching is to take the veil away from the eyes of the one that God's already given life. The purpose of the preaching is to release them of those bonds of the law in this life that binds them down, and to release them that he can go freely, you see, rejoicing in what God did. But my friends, it's already after God's given them life.
Amen.
God went over to Jairus' daughter, remember, and He said, Basil, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose. And then what did He say? He turned to His disciples and said, give her something to eat. Give her some meat, you see. It was after that Christ had brought her. Do you know every time that Christ brought somebody from the dead to a life, He went to them personally? He went to them personally. God goes to us personally. He goes to the dead alien sinner personally.
Amen.
You see, how can we receive Christ when our hearts don't have anything to do with Christ? You know, He says over in the 14th chapter of John, in the 15th, 16th, and 17th verse, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's a wonderful text. He's going to send us a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth. Now, this is telling you what that comforter is. Whom, and I want you to listen to this 17th verse, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. And why do ye know him? He says, for because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Amen.
Now I want you to see here, Christ is talking about the world that cannot receive him. That cannot. He didn't say will not. Did you know there's a difference this morning between can and will or may? You know, I've been trying to teach my daughter. When she'll come up to me, she'll say, can I do this? Or can I have a drink out of the refrigerator? I say, yes, you can, but you may not. You know, you can. You're able to do it. You're able to go up there and get a drink, but I'm not allowing you at this time to do that. You may not. And I've got that instruction from my own mother when I was growing up. There's a difference between can and may. He didn't say you will not or that you may not receive it. He said you can not. It means you're not able to receive it. Do you understand that? When you cannot do something, it means you cannot do it. You're not able. Why is the world not able to receive them? Because he says the Spirit abides not in them. His Spirit's abiding in you, dear child of God. That's what he's saying there. And you can receive them. You can receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
Even to them that believe on his name. Period. But that's not a period there, is it? You see, the world wants to put a period right at the end of that. But there, God didn't put a period there. It goes on into the 13th verse. And I want you to listen to what he says. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but of God.
Amen.
Did you notice the past tense? Now, we're talking about those. Now, let's get all this together. I want you to see this as a defense against God's Word, that people use this. But I want to rightly divide it this morning with the help of God, that we can assure ourselves of what this is saying. To me, it sounds like it's saying we have to receive Christ if we ever want to go to heaven. That's what it sounds like to me, doesn't it to you? That's what it sounds like. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. But let's take in that 13th verse. Which were born? Did you hear the were in that? Which were? You know that word were is past tense. The ones that are doing the receiving have already had the work done. Which were born? They were born, Brother Mark. Already born. Not of blood. He's saying it's not, now we're talking about, but of God, he says down there. It's not of blood. It's not through the lineage, you see. It's not like Paul was praying over in the 9th chapter of Romans. He says, I could wish that myself were accursed for my kinsmen, my brethren, in the flesh. Now he's talking about Israel in the flesh. He's not talking about spiritual Israel. He said that I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen, in the flesh. He didn't pray for them. But he said, I could wish that myself were accursed. Yeah. You see, Paul knew it wasn't because of the flesh, or because of blood. He knew you weren't a child of God through the lineage of Abraham, through the literal lineage of Abraham. That didn't make you a child of God. He said, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. You know, we just got done talking about the will of the flesh. No, Paul said over in 1 chapter of Corinthians 2:14, he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither indeed can he, for they are spiritually discerned. You see, the flesh, you're not born of the flesh. The flesh doesn't want anything to do with it. Not of blood, not of the flesh, nor the will of man. You see, it's got nothing to do with the will of man. It's got nothing to do with how hard the preacher preaches, how convicted he tries to make you feel. It's got nothing to do with the evangelist who's trying to go all around the world and save every living soul in this life, save everybody he can. You say that's his will, it's the will of man. It's not that, but what's it say? But it's of the mysterious and sovereign work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's through the mysterious and sovereign work that a man is born again. You see, it's got nothing to do with man. First thing you got to do is you got to take man out of the equation, as I said before. And it's all of God. It's not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but of God.
Amen.
But of God are you born again into a life with Christ. You see, it's a mysterious thing. He said, Solomon said, the wisest man that ever lived said, Solomon, over in about the 11th or 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, it says, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones are formed in her, in the womb of her that is with child, neither even thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Now you see, this is Solomon, the wisest man that ever there was that said these things. He says, nobody can know the ways of God. Nobody knows how God... It's a mysterious thing that God reaches down into a child's depraved, dead, alien heart.
Amen.
And brings him out of that life. And it's the sovereignty of God to do that, because a man is not willing. He's not made willingly. He's willingly not made. I'm trying to grab the verse and it's not coming to me. But God reaches in and grabs that dead alien sinner, brings him to a life in Christ. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. That's it. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. But by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. You see, he wasn't made willing. But it's the sovereign power of God. It was God over in the fifth chapter, the fifth chapter of John in the 25th verse when he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live."
Amen.
You see, man's out of that altogether. It's God, and it's the sovereignty of God speaking with the voice of God, his irresistible grace.
Amen.
It's irresistible, my friends. I like that word that the old Baptists use, irresistible grace, because it's irresistible.
Yeah.
It's effectual. You know what effectual means? It means it gets the job done.
Yeah.
It's effective.
Amen.
What God purposes will happen. You see, whatever God purposes will happen.
Amen.
We're talking about the sovereignty of God here.
Amen.
We're talking about where God said, where Timothy was talking about the sovereignty of God. He says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lot?"
Yeah.
Of the same lot. To make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Out of the same lump. We were molded out of, we were brought out of the same lump. You know who that lump was? Adam. We were brought out of that same lump. Of the same lump. That depraved man came out of the same lump. But because of the sovereign power of God, you see, he's born us again. And it's not been by blood or flesh. By the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
But of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
For what he has done. Thanks be to God this morning that you, dear child of God, have a desire in your heart to want to worship and serve God. That you have a desire to go down your knees at night and pray to God. That you have a desire to thank God for all that he's done for you. That you have a desire to sing songs unto God and think about him from time to time and desire God during your times of affliction and when times are down. And I want to tell you what, you're a blessed child of God. Because God's quickened you again and give you a love of God in your heart for him.
Amen.
See, we love him because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. We wouldn't have a desire to love God. In fact, our hearts and our minds are enmity towards God, Paul said in 8th chapter of Romans. The enmity towards God. But when God borns a man again, you know what he sees? He sees his depraved nature. He sees who he is. And you say, you might be saying this morning, young or old, I don't know. You might be saying, I don't know the trouble that you're talking about, Brother Carey. I don't know anything about it. I don't have any troubles. What are you talking about? Well, I want to tell you, dear child of God, you just hang on. You just hang on. Bear with me a little while. You know, Paul said, bear with me in my folly. You bear with me in my folly a little while, if this seems to be folly to you. Because I want to tell you something, dear child of God. One of these days, the troubles and the trials and the afflictions, if Christ doesn't come before then, are going to come knocking at your door.
Amen.
They're going to come knocking at your door. You know, they're going to come knocking at your door whether you're obedient or disobedient. Depending on what kind of trouble you're trying to borrow, doesn't it? I mean, if you're not careful, it's going to be God knocking at your door. And woe be to the man that has to deal with that. It seems like most of my troubles and trials and the afflictions that I deal with is what God sends on my way because of my disobedience and the things that I've done in my life.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
But there's troubles and trials in this life for a child of God that wants to try to serve God, wants to try to follow God. There's things in this life that will hinder you. Now you know that. And if you don't, hang on, like I said. I think I said it one other time. Put these things in your back pockets. You'll need them at another time. But you know, this message right here is just a comfort for that child of God.
Amen.
That understands the troubles and trials in this life.
Yeah.
He said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What's that receiving? What are we talking about receiving them there? You know, children of God that are quickened again by the Spirit of God are going to know who God is. They're going to know who God is. It doesn't matter if they're born in the jungles of Africa.
Amen.
Or behind the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain or wherever they're born. It doesn't matter in this world where they're brought up. If they're a child of God, and if they are a child of God, God's going to quicken them at some time between conception and death.
Amen.
And when God quickens them, my friends, they're going to know who God is in their heart. You see, the world doesn't see that now. The Armenian won't see that, will he, Brother Jennings? I think you've got to go preach who God is. But they know who God is in the heart.
Amen.
You see, Paul said it, and I've quoted it so many times over in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. It says, but after those days, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write them in their heart. See, I'm writing them in their heart.
Yeah.
And I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know ye the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest.
Amen.
They shall all know me.
Amen.
Now, is there any dispute in God's word there? If God says that they're all going to know me, is there any that's not going to know God that's born of the Spirit of God? They're all going to know God. We all, you know, that people say, you know, somebody over in some other country that's worshiping Buddha said, I had somebody tell me the other day, he said, you can't tell me that's a child of God. They're worshiping idols. You can't tell me. Well, I'm not saying they're doing the right thing. But with the knowledge and the bringing up that they have, brothers and sisters, it's the only way that they know to worship a God that's in their heart.
That's right.
You see, it's the only way that they know how to do it, see?
Right.
They don't have the knowledge that me and you have. But they worship God in the best way that they know how. Do you know that the Indian tribes of long ago didn't have the gospel gift to them, but they still had God in their hearts? You know, there was an Indian tribe, and I can't remember the name of the Indian tribe, but the Cherokee Indians had what was called the Way. Sounds real similar to us, what we call the Way. Walking in a life that's obedient to God.
Yeah.
And the Cherokee Indians called it the Way. And did you know there was another Cherokee, another Indian, and I can't think of the name right now, but theirs was called not the Way, but it was called the Red Trail. The Red Trail. They said, walk the Red Trail. And you know, back then they didn't have an alphabet. They didn't have a formalized way of writing things down. They used signs and symbols of everything, didn't they? Signs and symbols, that's how they speak. That's how they recorded things. And did you know what their symbol of the red trail was? It was a symbol of a cross. It was a symbol of the cross. Now who in the world told them about a cross? Where did they get that from? They got it from God, Brother Jennings.
Amen.
They got it from God.
Amen.
They had a love of God in their heart. They didn't have the knowledge and the understanding, but they had a love of God. Every child of God is quickened by the Spirit of God. He might not produce the fruits in mine and your eyes, but I grant you, sometime or another in his life, he's had a love for God.
Amen.
He's had a love for God. He might not be displaying or manifesting it, but he's got one because God's in his heart. God's in his heart. Now that's the truth. But he says, as many as receive them. So then what are we talking about? You see, all are believers in God, but not all are gospel believers. Now that's what we're talking about this morning. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about receiving, but as many as receive him have. As many as receive Christ in the gospel. As many as receive Christ for what he's done on Calvary. You see, when you receive them in the gospel, it's a close kin to being justified by faith. It's a close kin to putting all your trust in God and what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary. It's receiving that witness. It's receiving that into our hearts. But as many as received them. You see, the Jews there at that time wouldn't receive them. I'm not talking about all the Jews as a whole. I'm talking about the Jews that were the children of God. Now, when he said he came unto his own received them not, he's not talking about all the Jews of the nation of the Jews. No, no. I'll argue with you on that. What he's talking about is the children of God that were Jews. I want to show you how I know he wasn't talking about the whole nation of Israel. You know, when he went over in the 13th chapter of Acts and he began to preach unto the Gentiles, and then he said, as many as were ordained believed and were baptized.
Amen.
Do you remember hearing that? And as many as were ordained to life. Let me go over and get that. I don't want to say it wrong. Yeah, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. But I want you to see why they believed, because they were already ordained unto eternal life. Already ordained. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. The reason why they believed, they didn't believe to obtain eternal salvation. The reason they believed was the evidence that they already had it in their hearts.
Amen.
You see, they were already ordained. But now I want to show you how the Calvinists, I want to take a sidebar right here just for a minute, and how the Calvinists use this. You know, Calvinists, they'll say they believe in predestination and election, but they'll say that Christ died for a people and it was foreknown before the foundation of the world. He elected and predestinated, but all that hear the gospel, if whoever Christ died for will hear the gospel and will accept him, you see. And that's what he's saying he's talking about right here. But as many as were, you know, they'll bring that up. It says, now as many as were ordained, believed. And that's what God's word says. And that's what happened. Because that's what they're saying here. As many as were ordained, there where the Gentiles were. But now how are we going to separate that? Does that mean everybody that's ordained unto eternal life, that God's born again, are going to hear and believe the word of God? No, it doesn't mean that, does it? But it's saying right here that everybody that was ordained did hear it and did believe it, doesn't it? You see, why does he say over there in the 14th chapter of John, I believe it is, he says, be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, if all children of God are going to believe in him, as the Calvinists claim, then why would Christ have to say, you believe in God, believe also in me? See, Christ wouldn't have to tell them that. Another thing that shows me that this is not a Calvinist text is the very text that we've been reading right here. He said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own that received him not is talking about the children of God in the Jewish nation at that time. It's not talking about all the Jews as a whole. Because I want you to see the condition of these people. He goes on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. But see, we're still talking about those that received his word not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born of God. You see, we're talking about those that didn't receive him in the gospel. Those that were children of God, but wouldn't receive him in the gospel. You know, the Jews at that time wouldn't receive Christ as the Son of God. The Jews at that time. And I'm not saying they're all children of God, all the Jews altogether. But I'm saying there were children of God in the Jews there. Yeah. There were children of God there that did not receive Christ as the Son of God. You know, there's people today that are children of God that don't receive Christ. There's people today that are children of God that don't receive Christ in the gospel. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
I can go right up here to this church, this so-called church, this building up here that me and Briscoe was talking about this morning, and I can show you a bunch of people that God loves and Christ died for on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And I can show you a bunch of people that one day, my friends, are going to be in heaven rejoicing right beside the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
I can show you that. But I can show you some of the same people up there that haven't received Christ into their heart through the gospel. And haven't received Christ, that what he's done is a finished work. It's a complete work, and it's all in Christ. He said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, what's that becoming the sons of God talking about then? It's talking about becoming the sons of God manifestly before man. He manifestly, that you're manifesting the power that's given of you to become a son of God manifestly. You see, we walk in this life. We walk in this life. And if we receive Christ, he gives us the power to become the sons of God manifestly. Manifestly, we're given that power that God gives us to become the sons of God. There's a lot of things in this. When we begin to look at this manifesting power of becoming a son of God, manifesting that power. And it's the power that God gives you to become manifestly the sons of God. I don't want to lose you in this. I want to keep you up on this and where I'm going, so I'm going slow. It's maybe more of a teaching lesson than it is a preaching lesson. But I want you to be able to look at this verse, and I want you to be able to take consolation and comfort in what God's Word is saying and not have any doubts in it. You know, it's not... the biggest person, the hardest person I have to try to convince of God's word is myself. It's not somebody else. You see, if I'm convinced of it myself, I'm not concerned about it then. I'm at peace. And I want you to be at peace and understand what God's word is talking about here. David, over in the 22nd Psalm, we're still going with the manifestings of sons of God. David, over in the 22nd Psalm, said, I was made to hope upon my mother's breast. I was made to hope upon my mother's breast. That's what David said. Now I asked you, was David a child of God when that happened, when he was made to hope? Yes, he was. He was a child of God. I can't explain that. I can't explain how David said he was made to hope while he was upon his mother's breast. I don't understand that. We're talking about the mysterious and sovereign work of God now. But I can say that that's when David was a child of God as a child upon his mother's breast. He was a quickened child of God. But did he manifest it? Did he manifest it? No. He didn't manifest it then. You see, me and you might be a child of God, God's quickened us by His Spirit, but are you manifesting that God's giving you the power to manifest? When was it when David began to manifest that he was the Son of God? When was it? I want to tell you when it was. It was when he went down there and he saw that big giant Goliath down there in the field. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he should defy the armies of the living God. Now we see here David already been a child of God since he was a baby, since he was an infant, now begins to manifest that he already is. But he's manifesting it before who? Before the eyes of the people as he's manifesting it. He doesn't have to manifest it to God. God knows. But he's manifesting it before the people. You see, there was a time even before that where we see that before he went down there, before he went to Saul, said, I know I can take him. The reason why he knew, you remember the Ebenezers he had? He said, I was out there tending my father's sheep. Yeah. I want you to listen to the manifestations here.
Yeah.
I was out here attending my father's sheep, and I was delivered from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear when they'd come out to get a sheep. You see, what's he doing to us in God's Word? He's manifesting the power of God. He's manifesting the sons of God. He's been given power to become manifestly in our eyes the sons of God. You see what I'm saying now? Don't you see? I want you to look how David was there. And I was talking to Kirby last night. You know, if I was tending my father's sheep and they weren't even mine, they're my father's sheep, and I had 100 sheep or whatever, and a big bear came out and grabbed a hold of one, you know what I'd probably do? I'd probably say, y'all, come on, follow me. We'll let him eat that once, even while he's eating on that. We'll get on over on the other side of the hill and get out of this thing's way. In other words, what I'm saying is I'm going to sacrifice one little ewe lamb. I'm going to sacrifice one sheep for the rest of them. But did David do that? No, David didn't do that. You see, David would fight for the very last one.
Amen.
Not a one would be lost.
Amen.
And that's manifesting. If that's not manifesting the Son of God, I don't know who it is.
Amen.
Because I want to tell you something. God didn't sacrifice one little ewe lamb to satisfy the devil.
Amen.
He kept them all and everyone. And not a one, my friends, will be lost. Not a one.
Amen.
Do you reckon what it would have been like, dear child of God, if he'd had to sacrifice just one? Just one. Say, I had to sacrifice one to make the devil happy and get them off everybody's back. Just give them one. You know what everybody be saying? That's me. I'm the one that he gave. You see, but we have comfort in knowing that not a one shall be taken from the fold. That he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. When do they follow them? They follow them in the washing of regeneration, my friends. That's what we're talking about. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I want to tell you something. You see, David was manifesting Christ. You see, he wouldn't let one ewe lamb. Then he goes down there and fighting against that giant. See, he wasn't manifesting it before, but now he's manifesting it. What have you done in your life, dear child of God, to manifest the sons of God in you? What have you done in your life? Have you done anything? It's not too late. It's not too late. You know, Moses did the same thing. You know, we go over the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want to look at this. We're going to go over, Brother Jens. But I won't blame you for it. God bless you. In the 23rd verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, he says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child." And another place it says a goodly child. He saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They saw that Moses, at 3 months of age, that he was a proper child or a goodly child. Now, in your mind, does that mean to you that at that time Moses was a child of God? I certainly believe it does. I believe he was a goodly child.
Right.
I don't think one born in sin without the Spirit of God in them, depraved nature, I don't care how old you are, you still got just as much sin in you by nature as you'll ever have in your whole life. You might be showing it more in practice out yonder, but just in nature you got just as much in you.
Amen.
At 3 months as you do at 300
Amen.
Years of age.
Amen.
Just as much a sinner. I think he's a goodly child because they seen the love of God in that little boy's eyes. They seen the love of God in that little boy's eyes. But now, was he manifesting it then? No, he wasn't manifesting it then, you see. But as many as received him, then gave he power to become the sons of God. Gave me power to become the sons of God. The power that was given Moses is found over here by faith in the 24th verse. By faith, Moses. By faith. Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Yeah.
By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured. He was given power. He endured him as seeing him who was invisible, talking about God. See, he endured seeing him, seeing God. You see, now he's manifested. You remember there were there was an Egyptian and a Hebrew down there, and the Egyptian was smiting the Hebrew, and Moses saw that, and he got angry, and he went down there, and he smote down that Egyptian. You see, now he's becoming manifestly the sons of God. He's showing his great love for God's people, you see. And choosing rather to suffer the approach with them than to enjoy sin for a season, the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, he's got the power. God's given him the power to want to do this. Now God's going to give him the power to be able to do it. But it's not right then, is it? It's not right then. Because the next day he goes out there and what you see? He sees two Hebrews striving against each other. And Moses goes out there and says, "I'm going to go out there and separate them now." And he goes out there to try to separate them. Remember what they said? They said, "What are you going to do? You master and ruler over us? You going to kill one of us now like you did that other and buried him in the sand?"
Yeah.
And Moses said, "Oh my goodness," said, "everybody knows about it. I've got to flee." So he flees out there, Your Honor. And what does he... I want you to see the first 40 years he's under Pharaoh. He's under Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's house the first 40 years. I want you to see the next 40 years, God's got him in training. God's got him out there tending somebody else's flock, just like he did David. He's got him out there in the back wilderness, in the back 40 for 40. Out there tending somebody else's sheep. You see, he's learning Moses something. Moses is fixing to learn something. You see, the first 40 years, Moses spent learning what it was to have it all in this world.
Yeah.
The next 40 years, he was learning that he was nothing without God, that he was nothing. But I want to tell you, God brought him to the burning bush. And the next 40 years, God used him. In the next 40 years of his life, God showed him that God was everything. You see, the first thing you got to do is you got to get away from what the world has and realize what you are before you'll see who God is. And that's what Moses did. But I want you to see, he began to manifest that to the children of Israel. And at one time, he couldn't even keep two from arguing. But now, by the power of God, he brings up the whole nation of Israel across the Red Sea. He's standing at the banks of the Red Sea, looking to God, and he says, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation." resurrection of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, he's been given the power now. The power, the God-given power to want to follow God. Yeah. The power to trust in God and knowing that everything's going to be all right. My friends, if you receive Christ in the gospel and you understand what he's done for you, and all your trust, and all your hope, and all your worries, and all your contention, and all your strife is laid at the throne of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. He'll give you power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
He'll give you power to overcome the troubles and trials of this life.
Yeah.
Now, is that not right?
Yeah.
But as many as received him, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received them. You say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't live that kind of life. I want to. There are too many obstacles. No, no. God gives you the power.
Amen.
You say, it's not on you. You say, that's a cheap out. Don't say, I can't do it. No, you can't do it. I can't do it. But God didn't say we have to do it. God said, I give them the power to become. So I'll give you the power. You just receive me in the gospel.
Amen.
You see, you receive me in my word and what I say, I'll give you the power to do that.
Amen.
I'll give you the power. It's a God-given power. You know, Paul said, I'm not done yet. Paul said over there in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, there is no temptation taken thee but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it.
Amen.
Boy, that stings, doesn't it?
Amen.
That stings when you fall into temptation. You begin to want to blame the devil. You want to begin to blame the circumstances and the things that you're in, and you've got nobody to blame but yourself, because God said he'll make a way for you to escape that. But how are you going to escape it? You got to trust in God. He'll give you the power.
Amen.
Receive Him through the gospel. Look to God.
Yeah.
He'll give you the power to overcome those things. My friends,
amen,
the power of God that's given a child of God to want to follow God is not when times are going good.
Yeah.
It's not when times are going good. It's not when everything's coming up roses.
Yeah.
Or everything's coming up daisies. And now everything, you know, I've got this and I've got that and everything's just, I'm just in the lap of luxury. I'm like them over in the 6th chapter of Amos that were just laying on their couches of ivory. Just sprawled out on their couch of ivory, drinking wine out of bowls. I want to tell you, when that comes, it comes when trials and affliction and things come your way.
Amen.
That's when you're tested. You know why God just keeps you hanging from time to time? You know, have you ever thought about that? Why am I just, I'm just like a dog running after the rabbit. Every time I think I get close to it, it gets, and I can't never quite reach it. But it keeps us running our race, don't you see? It keeps our nose pointing towards God. It keeps our minds on God. Because if God just gave us everything that we desired, how long would it be we'd quit serving God? We'd quit giving God all the honor and the glory. But I want to tell you, God can afflict a man and bring him to his knees and make him worship God.
Amen.
And that's what God has to do from time to time. He's got to bring us to our knees and say, remember me?
Yeah. Amen.
Don't forget about me.
Yeah.
You see, you're going to need me.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to worship me.
Yeah.
I need all the honor. I'm demanding all the honor and all the glory. You see, in the 5th chapter of Mark, he says over here, the 5th chapter of Matthew, he says in the 43rd verse, he says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Boy, we can all just grab hold of that, can't we? We like that. But I say unto you, now God's saying something unto you now. He says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, now isn't that hard for the old flesh to do that? I want to tell you something. I don't want to pray for somebody that's despitefully using me. I don't want to pray for somebody that hates me. Do you? You see, I'm in the flesh, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
But listen to what he says. You see, we're talking about the troubles and the trials that come upon us. Now, the natural thing for me to do would be to go in strife against him, just like those two Hebrews did. Just butt heads, you see. But you know what you're not showing? You're not showing forth that you're a son, manifestly the Son of God when you do that. You're just showing forth your depraved nature. And that if you're going to do me that way, brother, I'm going to do it right back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I want you to say, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now how's that going to make us the children of our Father which is in heaven? Is that what we got to do to go to heaven? No. That ye may be manifestly. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You see, it's only a child of God, in the Spirit of God, trusting in God, that will ever do these things that He tells us to do, that He commands us to do. The flesh won't do it.
Amen.
But He says, you do these things. You walk in the light.
Amen.
As many as receive Christ. He says, if ye have received Christ, walk ye in the light, as He is in the light. As you have received Christ. You see, we're talking about a manifesting right there, that ye may be the children of God. The children of your Father which is in heaven. What's it take? It takes patience. It takes endurance. It takes trusting in God. It's the power given us through receiving Him in the gospel and His word and what He's done that gives us the power to overcome the wiles of the devil. That gives us the power to overcome old Satan who's walking to and fro in this earth like a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may to devour. Now, who do you think he's seeking? You know who a lion seeks out when he's out there in the fields of Africa? He's seeking out the weak.
Right.
He's seeking out the young, those that can't run as fast. My friend, by faith, if we trust in God and we keep our prayers to God and we're keeping our heads in God's Word, we're going to be strong.
Amen.
We're going to be strong.
Amen.
That you may be. You see, If I act in my nature and I'm going and I'm just really giving somebody down the road, and I'm just really giving them down the road, and that person says, brother, I won't pray for you. God bless you.
Yeah, amen.
I hope I haven't said anything to offend you.
Yeah, amen.
Do all these things and that thing, doing all this and that and everything else. You know what he's showing me? He's showing me that he is manifestly the Son of God.
Yeah, amen.
Because Even my old depraved nature knows that natural man, that's not natural man's response if I'm giving somebody a hard time.
Yeah.
What's the natural man's response is to come back to them.
Yeah.
I've got people that have been on my back for 5 years now. For 5 years, and they have almost all but quit trying to figure out a way to turn me.
Yeah.
And get me, and to get me, and they can't figure it out.
No.
They can't figure out how they just keep slamming stuff at me time and time and time again. And every time God gives me the grace, God gives me the grace to just look over and say, God, forgive them for what they're doing. And I humbly bow my head and go on my way.
Amen.
That's the power given of God. You see, that's a God-given power.
That's right.
I'm not glorying in myself. I'm glorying in the power and the grace that God's given me to do, you see. That God's given me to do. The world's going to... You remember Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden. I mean, not in the Garden of Eden, but Cain and Abel back there. When one slew the other one, you remember? Cain slew Abel. Was it because Abel did any something wrong to make Cain mad? No. He just offered a better plea. He offered by faith, Abel offered a greater sacrifice to God, pleasing to God. And he was able to do that by faith because he was a child of God. And you know what that did to Cain? That made Cain mad. That made Cain mad. You know, when we begin to try to walk a life pleasing to God, and we try to do those things that are pleasing to God, we needn't expect our past to be paved before us.
Amen.
There's troubles and trials. There's people there's people you're going to come up with that are going to despise you just because of what you're trying to be. But he says, but these things are written in the 20th chapter of John. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through His name.
Yeah.
You see, we're talking about that abundant life.
Yeah. Amen.
We're talking about that abundant life. But there's more I could say, but I'm going to have to close. He says, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We're talking about manifestly. We could go on over to the book of James and talk about where James says faith without works is dead. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, we're talking about a manifestation of showing. But it's God that gives us the power to be able to do that. But how is it that we're able to do that, that God gives us the power? He said, but as many as receive Him, to them that receive Him, how? In the gospel? To them gave He power to become the sons of God manifestly, even to them that believe on His name, which were already born of God. The very reason you received Christ into your heart. And that's a hard thing for me to even say. The world has perverted that saying so much, to receive Christ in your heart. But you, I trust this morning you understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about receiving that gospel in our hearts. By receiving that, He gives us the power. Does that mean I'll do it every time? No. But I've got nobody to blame but myself. Because God's given me the power to become the sons of God manifestly. I trust that this has been an encouragement to you and a strength to you. Yeah. I trust that you'll now see this text over here and you'll understand more fully what He's talking about here. Mm-hmm. And the great power that God's given us to walk a life that's pleasing to Him and to endure the troubles and trials of this life, mm-hmm. and be able to go on forward worshiping God. Mm-hmm. I thank you for your time. I know I took up a lot of time, but be thankful I didn't keep going, because I could have. There's always something to be thankful for. I've had about another 30 minutes, I'd like to say it, but I had to wrap it up. God bless you. I hope it's been a blessing to you. You've been a blessing to me this morning, and I thank God for the Word and His truth. Amen. And what it means to us. And again, I want to exhort you. I want to commend you to God and His work and what He's done. I want to commend you to walk a life that's pleasing to God, that people might be able to see you. You see, He said over in the 5th chapter of Matthew, He says, you are the light of the world. The city that's set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and then giveth light unto all that are in the house. The household of God is who He's talking about there. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The power that's given you is not for yourself, but it's to glorify God. Everything is to glorify God.
Amen.
Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. You know what he's talking about working out? He's talking about working out that God's already put in you. God put that life in you. You work it out so that the world can see it.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about.
That's right.
I said I was going to stop, didn't I? God bless you. There's so much to talk about in this subject. I'd like to go on. We'll spend this time and sing a song and ask if there's one today.